Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the Assembly Majority Leader Marcus Conklin was on the Power Pundit panel, Ray Bacon, Mayor Bob Kroll, and Wayne Frediani. Coming up next, an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Addy, you think we'll be cowgirl someday?
You're darn tootin'. Maybe we'll even win buckles.
Yeah.
Get ready for the nonstop adrenaline-pounding excitement, because it's time to cowboy up for the Reno Rodeo. It all starts with Bulls as Extreme Bulls kicks off 10 nights of Reno Rodeo starting June 16th.
These guys are our future. That's why we rodeo for the kids.
Yeah! As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concept are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program Assemblyman Marcus Conklin. He is the majority leader. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam.
How tense has it been this weekend?
Well, it's been busy. I mean, it's a deadline weekend, right? And deadline weekends produce a little stress, and you throw a little budget into the mix, and all of a sudden things get really busy and people get a little stressed.
The Supreme Court decision that came out last week about the Clean Water Fund has really thrown a monkey wrench into the works.
Yeah, it's it's both a blessing and a curse in many respects. On the one hand, I think we had kind of gotten as far as we were going to get in terms of the budget. People were a little entrenched, and while it's not a good thing that we have more fiscal crisis on top of what we've already got. It also has seemed to brought people together. People recognize, as they always do in Nevada, that when times get really tough, it's time to set aside many of our differences and come together and find real solutions to the problems that we face. And so I think it's done both.
Were you surprised that the governor came back to the table to look at the sunsets again?
Not in light of the clean water ruling. I mean, really, that clean water ruling put a significant hole in the governor's plan or budget.
That was about $62 million, right?
Well, I mean, I guess it just depends on your interpretation of the ruling. The number that we've been looking at, or at least that I've seen, is as high as $652 million.
Explain if you would, because that's that all those sweeps that the governor was planning on doing.
are now up in the air unless the Supreme Court comes back and clarifies the situation.
Yeah. The essence of the ruling, at least as far as I understand it, is that funds that were originally earmarked for a certain purpose, in many respects, just have to be used for that purpose. So anytime the state may want to come in and take local money that was designated for a local purpose and use it for a broader state purpose, that money would be at risk. And so clearly that's the case with the Clean Water Coalition money, and that also puts at risk any other monies that are taken from only certain counties via, say, property tax or from school bond reserve money. And so those things were originally on the table in the governor's budget. I think those things come off the table now in light of the ruling, and so that creates just a larger revenue gap. And I think everyone understands that we've cut significantly over the years, particularly last cycle, last special session, and then again this cycle, no matter how you account for it, those cuts to critical services, education, higher ed, and health and human services have been massive, and that's understating it. So when you take out $652 million from what's left, you've got a substantial problem.
Is the governor talking in terms of applying the whole sunsetted amount, or is he bargaining with you on a portion of it?
You know, right now talks are really ongoing. Everybody's at the table, and they seem to be going fairly well. So I think I'm going to let that go as, you know, give everybody an opportunity to continue.
Okay, and how would you describe fairly well?
I mean, people are at the table and talking. I mean, that's a lot better than it was a month ago. So as long as we're continuing to have talks and they're fruitful, then I think we're moving in the right direction.
What are the main things that the Assembly Republicans and the governor are pushing for in terms of something in return for allowing the sunset to not be lifted? To be lifted. What are the there was a list that Pete Goicoechea came out with, a list of demands that they wanted to allow the sunset taxes to go forward. What areas are being negotiated on that at this point?
You know, I think rather than say what areas are being negotiated, I think what we really need to look at are what areas continue to move through the process. For example, you saw last night several pieces of critical legislation on education reform passed. Assemblywoman Smith's AB 225 and AB 229, which were passed out of the Senate late last night.
And what did they deal with specifically?
One dealt with teacher tenure and last in, first out mechanisms in times of crisis like these. So when it comes time to decide that we need if we need a reduction in workforce, exactly how will we deal with that? And then of course,
How is that resolved? So have we done away with teacher tenure at this point?
No, teacher tenure is not completely done away with, or I don't think it's completely done away with, but it certainly allows the district some flexibility in dealing with teachers maybe have issues in the classroom. So that kind of flexibility is important, or at least that's the testimony we heard in our House, and I'm sure that's the testimony they heard in the Senate.
Okay, and first in, first out, where are we at?
Well, I haven't seen the full details of that proposal because it was in the Senate last night. As you know, we were in our House
right.
Until very late. So, but in very general terms, I think it offers the school district to use more than just how long you've been there in determining which teachers you will keep in the unfortunate event that you can't keep your entire workforce.
Okay.
Or you can consider other things.
All right, let's take a break. More with Marcus Conklin when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Attention antidepressant users. The FDA has associated the use of certain antidepressants with birth defects.
If you took Celexa, Lexapro, Paxil, Effexor, Zoloft, Prozac, or Prestique and had a child born with a serious birth defect, call the Relion Group now.
Do not delay. There are time deadlines to file a claim.
There is absolutely no risk on your part. You don't owe us a penny unless we are successful.
Call 1-800-237-1788. Don't delay. Call now.
Political Entertainment, Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assembly Majority Leader Marcus Conklin. Am I right in saying that you guys are about $300 million apart here at this point?
You know, I hate to go back to this, but the reality is we're still working through it. Talks have been, at least as late as late last night, incredibly fruitful. And so I think we continue to move closer and closer to a final budget.
The discussion on collective bargaining, where is that?
Well, last night, if you were around, Senate Bill 98 passed our House, and that is amended, and that was a bill on collective bargaining. It provided for some real transparency in the process and allows the public to see what the value of those contracts are when they're finally completed, and also allows, I believe, because it was amended in the final hours, I believe it allowed for additional meetings prior to going to binding arbitration. So expanding out the time that both sides have to negotiate before turning it over. So some real reform in that area, at least moved from our House last night.
Were you surprised because all throughout the session and prior to the session and through the election cycle, the governor was just no new taxes, no new taxes. De La Quiarga couldn't have been stronger in defending the governor's position that we find ourselves where we are. And does that not have ramifications for him down the road?
You know, I don't know if it has ramifications for him down the road. I will tell you this. Nobody knows for certain what position they were going to find themselves in when they get into this office, and probably least of all the governor. He has a Herculean task. I'm not a person who agrees with his position relative to that. I would prefer to have left all my options on the table to deal with a crisis of this magnitude. But the flip side is he may be holding to his convictions, and I don't know that that's a problem in and of itself. The reality is he is at the table now. We are working through the budget, and he's doing the job that people elected him to do. And in, you know, whether, you know, he's for something or against something, at the end of the day, what has to matter most is your oath to this office and your responsibility to this state, and I think he's fulfilling that at this time.
What are your greatest concerns going forward today? We're taping this Tuesday morning, with only less than a week left in the session.
My greatest concerns? Clearly, we want to get our work done, which means we want to finish the budget and the budget process at an absolute minimum.
Do you think you can get it done on time?
We're getting really close, just because mechanically there are certain things that have to get done. The drafting of everything is not something that happens, you know, in a flash. It usually takes 24 to 48 hours just to get it drafted. We still have a committee process to work through for any changes that may be negotiated. So with every day that passes, it becomes less and less likely. But the, you know, again, the flip side is that people are at the table, they're talking, they're working together to find a solution. And usually when that happens, if we're not at the absolute deadline, there's usually some leeway granted because everybody has worked together, and we can usually wrap things up pretty quickly. So
what is the atmosphere? You know, we've seen Senator Horsford get quite excited about his issues. Have things calmed down now to where everybody's actually talking at a calm level?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the mood in the building, at least in the legislative building, is one a little bit of relief. And we're not there yet. I mean, I don't want to say that we're at the finish line. We're approaching it. And I think people feel more optimistic that we're actually going to get there. And that's a good place. People are allowed to relax a little bit. You know, it's funny when stress is so high and when people are at, you know, a logger jam, everything grinds to a halt. Nothing gets done without some brute force effort. And when there is this opportunity or at least atmosphere that people are beginning to work together and that people are coalescing around our common problems, it seems to be that things flow a little bit easier, a little bit better, compromises are a little bit easier to find, and we can get the people's work done in a more efficient manner, and quite frankly, the outcomes are better.
What do you think about the atmosphere created by having so many freshmen legislators in the building?
I think it's a growing positive atmosphere. You know, times are just different, and they're going to continue to be different. And there will be more and more new faces over the years. People are going to have to learn a process that is quite complicated, where the intricacies are in many ways very difficult to understand, let alone learn, comprehend, and master. And when you back out the actual number of calendar days that a person can serve in the assembly, it amounts to 2 years. Over a 12-year period. I will tell you that 2 years is a pretty short time frame. I think you're going to have some guests. They can probably tell you how short 2 years are, but that's what it comes down to. 4 months, 12 times, that's 2 years. And so the dynamic of people learning this process is going to have to speed up. The time for people to move up the ladder into leadership and then move on their career is going to speed up. A lot of the institutional knowledge will shift from being in the hands of legislators to being in the hands of the bureaucracy and the lobby corps. And I'm not exactly sure how well that's going to serve the public, but we'll see.
And that's where we have to leave it.
All right.
Good luck for the rest of the week, sir.
All right.
Thank you for being here.
Right.
We appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductors Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Car accidents can turn your life upside down, and dealing with the insurance adjuster on your own can add insult to injury. I'm Herb Santos, Jr. If you have questions regarding your rights, call me for a free personal consultation. In my office, I help injured people. I work for you.
So do you guys have a favorite teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. And you know what's great is that News 4 has an excellence in education program that you can nominate them for.
Hi, I'm Shelby Sheehan of News 4. Each month, we take your nominations and find one special teacher to recognize. It's our way of highlighting all the wonderful teachers we have in our area. Each month's winner is honored at their school and featured on News 4.
News 4's Excellence in Education, a proud partnership with United Federal Credit Union.
The nutrient-rich, flavor-packed avocado. It can be seen in lush green orchards, in upscale restaurants, and now, Subway.
No way.
Way. Because now, for a limited time only, Subway has avocado. Creamy, smooth, this superfood really ups the flavor ante. Try the turkey and bacon avocado. Everything you add tastes even better with creamy avocado. Crispy veggies, cheeses, sauces. Go ahead. Grab the green today at Subway. Subway. Eat fresh.
Is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Ray Bacon is here, Executive Director of the Nevada Manufacturers Association. Wayne Frediani is Executive Director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. And Mayor Bob Kroll is here. Welcome to all of you. Ray, let's start out with your thoughts on what the majority leader had to say.
In general, I think the tone has dramatically changed in the last few days. That's a huge step.
Why?
Because they're starting to get to the point where a lot of the barriers, the cooperation has started. And, you know, a week ago that wasn't there. And without the cooperation, you never get done, or you get done in just an ugly manner, as we did in 2003 after, 57 days or whatever it was. The education reform bills, 225, 229, that passed out last night, they're not perfect, but they're a huge step in the right direction.
For example?
LIFO, instead of being based on seniority, now is also based upon what the teacher's expertise is. So people in math and science positions that are always difficult to fill will not be involved in those things. Special accreditation, you know, if they've gone through national certification and things like that, if they've done, there's two or three other factors in there. But in general, that's a huge step. That there is a pathway clearly to start slowly getting rid of the ineffective teachers, and we probably don't have a lot of them, and it's probably going to take too long. But the fact is, now there's a process to do that, whereas you're well aware, in the past, an ineffective teacher was giving an inadequate quality education to kids for years and years and years.
Wayne, your thoughts on the majority leader's comments?
I thought they were pretty right on. I mean, I think that they're getting there and will get there. I think the sunsets, in my opinion, will probably end up being the final piece of legislation that puts this thing together.
Do you think the full amount?
I think close to. I think it's somewhat unfortunate that the Supreme Court, maybe couldn't have made this ruling a little earlier, which would have given people a little bit more time. But who knows what their docket was like? I have no idea. But the fact,
some say that that was deliberate.
Well, I don't know about that, but I just know that I think now with them working together, as Ray says, the education type stuff that's been reformed, the differences are closing. You know, time is getting of the essence, and I think we'll get there.
Yeah, no, I thought that the majority leader made a good point this morning or today, at the end of the day, you can be at loggerheads all you want, but at the end of the day, everybody has to look at their oath of office and what that means. I mean, you've got a higher responsibility to the public. I mean, that should transcend politics, although that's very difficult to do. But I just think that along with what Ray said, the tone has changed. I think you're seeing a lot of movement. I also think that probably today, this is Tuesday, they have to have some resolution of this budget to start getting the function in place to start to close down.
But, altruism over politics.
Yeah, it's hard to get. I mean, I'm probably more Pollyannish than most on that, but I think that it serves us well to be a little Pollyannish in a way, because I think that if you start beating heads too much together, what you end up with is a political result and not, in my view, a result that works for everybody. But, that's politics. And I will also say, on the issue of the Supreme Court ruling on the Clean Water ruling, it says a lot on, and one to ten degree that it's a fairly broad opinion. That's on the revenue side, and I think that the devil is in the detail, big in how the money is spent in terms of what it means to local governments.
Well, and I was going to say that does the Supreme Court need to clarify this decision as to whether it only applies to the Clean Water Act, or does it apply to all these other things that have gotten the governor terrified?
Well, let me give you a thought process on that. If you take the capital funds from the schools, if those had been done as a loan to state governments, so even if they were a non-interest-bearing loan to the point where they were going to be paid back at some point in time, I think that changes the complexion of whether you're just taking the money or whether you're still committing to that money to the right source. So I think there's a couple of those quote-unquote takings from the state government that can be corrected by doing something like that if they need to be, and they may need to be. Not sure.
Wayne, it's interesting. When it came to Obamacare, the Attorney General said that she wasn't going to pick up the flag for the previous governor. Now she's not going after this decision. What's going on here?
Well,
has the role of Attorney General just become very partisan now?
I don't know that it's become partisan. I don't think the Supreme Court is going to weigh in on the budget battle right now in terms of time and looking at each one separately. And I think she's looked at it and maybe doesn't see that there's been any misapprehension or there's anything that stands out. But, you know, on the other side is the Attorney General supposed to work for the governor, help. And so there's, you know, there's some partisanship probably going on.
Your thoughts on that, Ray?
It's a strange situation. You know, you don't, generally speaking, get away with going back and asking a court for clarification because that's not what they do. And there was no lawsuit and no basis to go back on that thing. So I understand her position on this one. I understand her stood her position on the Obamacare thing less. It's one of those things where Catherine's going to have some questions that are going to get asked regardless of what she decides to go for in the next
second. Last word on this topic.
Last word. You know, all these things are fact-specific, and I don't think you can ask the Supreme Court to rule on hypotheticals without having a full airing of what the facts really are on a particular revenue issue. And I think that's the basis why she didn't go.
All right, so now, about 5 seconds, 10 seconds each. So does this change the idea of kicking the can down the road for 2 years each time to where the next legislative session people can come in with their eyes wide open and no more gimmicks?
We are still 1,000% better off than what's going on in California.
I still think there's some revenue issues that need to be addressed and some leadership that needs to be coming forth.
I think the ball has moved towards doing just exactly what you said.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on About the Newsmakers after this timeout.
Put your best foot forward in your own home. Whether it's the finest hardwood, the sturdiest tile, the toughest laminate, all types and styles of beautiful, colorful designer carpet, or durable tile of any variety, Giant Carpet One has it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of our 12-month, no-down, no-interest financing. Giant Carpet One Floor and Home, the one store for your perfect floor.
With all the uncertainty around health care, if you don't have health insurance through your work, now is a good time to find an individual plan that makes sense for your needs and budget from a name you can trust, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For example, Kristen just started her own business.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield helped me compare plans, and my personal doctor was in their large network. And when I needed surgery later, I didn't worry about my savings or my bottom line.
Or take George, who retired early and chose a plan that covers prescriptions.
I had a little health scare recently. My doctor ran some tests and changed my prescription. And now, I'm back in the game.
With Caitlin's busy life, she needed coverage she could count on with preventive care.
Because with kids, you never know what will happen.
If you're looking for individual health coverage that makes sense, join all the people who depend on Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
For a free rate quote, contact your local agent. Call 1-866-771-0096 or visit us online at anthemforme.com.
My name is Justin Brecht. I've been teaching 7 years.
Justin was named Teacher of the Year at his school twice.
I became a teacher because I wanted to show kids that they can strive for a better life.
But Justin was forced out because he was the last teacher hired. Under Nevada law, when schools have to lay off teachers, most districts are forced to fire teachers based only on seniority, not on how well their students are learning.
We've got to change the system.
It's time to end seniority-based layoffs.
It's time to put students first.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. While you're on the website, check out our blogs and the Nevada News Channel. You can also download the show free of charge from iTunes. In the next broadcast, the Senate Minority Leader Mike McGuinness will be here. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.